Welcome back to BSA by Design, a podcast about transforming healthcare educational and research facilities through expert design and insight. I'm your host, Brian Moore. Thank you for joining us again. In this episode, Tim Bashi joins the show to discuss architectural design and design tools and how technology has sped up design and why that's not always a good thing. And he shares some of BSA's innovation framework as a solution to blend creativity, the tools, and speed to create amazing projects. First, let me introduce our guest. Tim Bashi is the Chief Design Officer at BSA. Tim received his bachelor's degree in architecture from Miami University, Ohio, and his master's from Washington University in St. Louis. Prior to joining BSA in 2010, Tim was an architect at ACI Boland. Tim is also a member of the BSA Executive Leadership Team. Thanks for joining me today to talk about design, Tim.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
Having had the opportunity to get to know you over the past year, you are without question one of the most creative people I've met and one of the most passionate about design. So I always like to ask guests on the show what sparked their interest in this career path. So what got you into design and architecture?
When I was growing up through school, you know, always fascinated by the arts, but also at the same time, I loved math and science. Really the only subject that really turned me off was English. And I guess that's why I married an English teacher. But I saw architecture as a way to combine those two. And I grew up, you know, my father was a doctor, my brother was a doctor. So I grew up in a family of physicians. But, you know, for me, it was the memories I had were going to the hospital and waiting, you know, in the waiting room. My dad made visits with his patients. And I just remember sitting in the waiting rooms and just a sea of chairs with a really small TV on the wall. And I thought this could be better, yeah. You know, and then right out of college, I got an internship working with a firm that did healthcare architecture. And I just fell in love with the idea that we can create better space. And it was a way to kind of relate back to, you know, my family being physicians, but also fuel kind of my passion for the arts and the creativity side.
Yeah.
And tap into that. So
I know you have your iPad with you all the time. You're great at doodling. You're great at sketching and drawing out your thoughts. I've watched you do it before. Is that something natural to you that you've learned? And do you keep your iPad with you, like you just said, all the time? I mean, I know
it goes with me everywhere.
I know you've been prone to sketching at hockey practices.
Yeah, so. I take it with me. I have very active kids in a lot of sports, and it goes with me everywhere. All the parents even comment that it's always with me. But, you know, as a creative, you never know where your ideas are going to come from. And I like to take advantage of those times where you've got time on your hands. You might as well just be sketching ideas. And nice thing about where we are today with technology is you can bring your work with you at any time and you can tap into things on the fly.
I was going to ask, did you, before the iPad, did you use like a sketch pad?
It's funny you said, I never really got into the sketch pads. I always wanted to, and I always thought I'd get the sketch pad, and I had real nice pens and I was fascinated by it, but I never got it. I always had the desire to, but it wasn't until it really became techie that it really appealed to me. But I've got it down to a science now. I think it's the iPad. It's not just the drawing tools. It's everything for me. It's just this little energy here that, yeah, that it brings to me. So I like to communicate through it. I'm a very visual person. So
right.
I find myself whenever I have a story to tell, the first thing I do is open this thing up, and it's either I'm drawing something for somebody or I'm going to a photograph to talk about a photo to show somebody. So
that's really cool.
I'm a very visual person.
So let's continue that kind of talking about the impact that technology has had in architecture and design, some of the rapid advancements that are taking place now. Can you give me a timeline of sorts of where we were and where we are and where we're going with some of these tools?
Yeah. I mean, when I was back in, you know, undergrad, when I started architecture, you know, I was being trained by all, you know, the computer was just starting, really. You know, I learned pen, ink on Mylar. That's how I was trained. And two parallel lines was a wall. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was drawing. But then by the time I had graduated from undergrad, those two parallel lines were in the computer. They were still a wall, but they were in the computer.
Right.
And then years later, I'm graduating from grad school. And now those two parallel lines in the computer were an actual wall. They were in three dimensions. They had properties to it. And it amazed me that technology had made such an advancement while I was being educated in the profession. And it was fascinating. The one thing we had going for ourselves was, as great as that was, the hardware was still, it took a lot of hardware power to get that
to
happen. You know, we would render things, but we would have to put signs on our computer that says, hey, you know, don't touch this machine. It's rendering, you know, it would render overnight, you know. And,
I was going to ask how long that process
would take. It would take forever. Wow. The computer labs were just nothing but notes on people's monitors saying, don't touch this. It's rendering, right. You know. But in many ways, that was kind of nice because it kind of slowed things down so you could absorb and kind of, again, as a kid, you're still learning and trying to figure the whole profession out. So that was great. But that was, you know, evolution. It took time to learn. It took time to implement for firms to absorb. We didn't have BIM departments. They weren't robust. You know, someone had to like step up and volunteer to be that person to
right.
shepherd this new way of doing things into a established practice. Mm-hmm. Came through. It was great. It was new. It was exciting. But the client really had a hard time seeing it because on the client end, they would just see a sheet of paper with two parallel lines. And they didn't understand right. what it was. To them, it looked like it was the same deliverable. It wasn't until the hardware caught up and the technology sped up that they could start to see some of the benefits of what we were trying to do. Now you look at what we're trying to do for our clients. It's amazing. And nowadays clients see exactly what we're trying to do because they can experience the immersive experiences that we're bringing to clients, the 3D visualizations, the animations, the renderings. They see it now. They couldn't see it back then. So
files are too large right. that you can't lug all that stuff to a meeting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, heck, to your point, when we used to go to meetings, I mean, if you wanted to bring your roll of drawings, at the same time, you could bring a heavy projector, try to plug it in. You just didn't have the boardrooms weren't set up with
right.
display monitors with an HDMI cord that you could plug into. Right. It wasn't as easy as that. So, yeah, it's a great time now. Things have caught up and we're reaping the benefits of a lot of work. I think I just feel how lucky I am that I was drawn to a profession that has radically changed and fits me like a glove.
What are some of the examples of tools that BSA is currently using?
Yeah, we encourage our teams to be creative and we encourage them to explore, try to be curious about design. And one of the ways we do that is we try to make sure that they have the tools they need to have immersive experiences. So we're using pretty much a lot of the industry standard tools like Enscape, ways of being able to flip a switch and get in there in 3D and really explore their design moves, make sure things are mm-hmm. behaving the way they want. No, no longer are you just looking at things, a floor plan and making sure that it's the right size and the right square footage. We want to make sure that, you know, light's behaving the way you intended it to work in there. And, you know, you have the right lines of sight in a space and,
right.
you know, public spaces feel the right way. We get in there. We also have VR experiences that we're having, VR devices for our staff. A lot of times we can have people in multiple studios put their VR headsets on and they can join each other in projects. And so it's, you know, we used to say we would pin up our work. Mm. We're no longer doing that. We're now jumping into the work. So yeah. That's such a great, I mean, it's so powerful to be able to just call someone up and say, instead of joining a Zoom call, we can jump into a physical or a virtual model and walk around the space and point to things that need some work or things that are working, things that aren't working,
yeah.
mark those up, create reports. And, you know, when we come back out of those models, we have a better understanding of what needs to be done, what changes need to be happening. And it's exciting.
In a larger sense, technology is a lot about speed too, right? So I'm thinking faster information, better processing. I think of Amazon and the way they're delivering things. I just saw a commercial last night with Amazon Pharmacy. I think of Google. I think of Apple devices like the new Vision Pro. And the thought there is that obviously rapid advancements means more speed. My question to you is speed good for design?
Yeah, that's the one challenge. I mean, technology is great. You know, we use a tool called Revit, and Revit stands for Revise Instantly. Mm. And it was really sold to both designers and to clients as kind of like, this tool is going to speed things up. And what client wouldn't want to hear that? Wow, look,
we're
going to go faster.
Right.
I mean, everybody wants to go faster. It's always an aggressive schedule. That's how our industry works, you know, and just to point it out in our models, if we put a door into a floor plan, it generates the door schedule and then it's in our elevations. That's great. It's all linked together and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
The old days used to put a door in a floor plan, then you'd have to open up a file and draw that same door in an elevation. Then you'd have to open up a different file and enter it into the door schedule right. and you have to make sure they're coordinated. So that took some time.
Yeah.
So love the speed. It's great for us. And don't get me wrong, but where it starts to impact design is when you start to race through design, you tend to take your first idea and push it through fast. If you've ever thought of an idea and then just go fast with it, it's usually your first, I tell our designers, your first idea is never going to be your best idea.
So it's taking some of that creativity and
it's just that's just the nature of our industry. You know, it streamlines. If you take one idea and then you just push it. For example, now if you try to put a wall in and you have to tell how high it is, what thickness it is, it's real hard to be conceptual. That, I mean, you ask me why I carry my iPad around me. It's still at the end of the day, if I'm drawing, a line is a line.
Right.
And I can just kind of shape things. I can get things out there quickly. There's not a lot of, it's just right from the brain to the hand, and I can just move real fast. Mm-hmm. The computer doesn't really let you do that very easily. It wants to know more information so it can go faster.
Yeah.
So in design, that's one of the challenges, is to make sure that we have time set aside to really explore. And, you know, at BSA, we've really done a really good job of creating a framework that allows for that design time. We don't need a ton of it. We just need to make sure that we have time to really understand the problem we're trying to solve. And we do that so that we can then use those tools that do what they're supposed to do and allow us to go efficiently, not fast, but just efficiently through in a timely manner to get the solution documented and to the client.
So that takes us to, along those lines internally, I know this conversation isn't new with us, but you talk about it all the time. What is BSA's solution to these challenges that keeps us committed to the design process? And you just kind of alluded to it when you talked about the framework.
Yeah, the innovation framework is a tool that we use on all of our projects, and we promote it with all of our teams. It's an ideation loop consisting of four critical steps: explore, align, design, and evaluate. It's applicable to projects of all sizes and any of our three markets. It serves as a simple roadmap for our teams to ensure an inspired solution is achieved. The first step is really to explore. We feel like innovation is achieved when we rapidly explore big ideas as an integrated team. You know, we are an integrated firm, and it's important that we take the time to look at the problem together as a team early on in the process. We rapidly explore ideas, and we do that not to get to, again, a solution, but we get there to so that we can get all the ideas on the table. And when we get all those ideas on the table, we can start to ask questions. And it's when we start to answer those questions that we start to get to the solution. So when we rapidly explore, we get those out there, start looking at it from different angles, we start to get an idea of really defining what we're trying to solve. That for me is the most critical step in the phase, in the framework, I guess I should say. And you make a sports analogy, I like to call it the hard pause.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. We have all these tools, like we just talked about, to go fast, but sometimes it's really important that we just call it hard pause. Let's just pause, get our ideas together, get aligned.
Like
get
a coach calling a timeout, right?
Like a coach calling a timeout. Yeah. Exactly. In sports, that's usually save your timeouts towards the end of the game. You know, in design, you want to call them in the beginning of the
early
game.
Yeah.
Call them early on. Let's get on this. Let's just get our ideas out there. Let's put it all out there, and then we can move forward, because we can move fast. We have all the tools we need to go fast, but we want to make sure that we get things out there and that we've really looked at things from all different angles, because it's really hard to get 3/4 of the way down through a design and have a great idea. There's nothing worse as a designer is getting halfway through a process with a client and then having a great idea, because it's so hard to get that idea implemented into a project. Then the second phase of that, or the second step of that, I should say, of that framework is aligned. We have to be totally aligned, not only as a team, but with our stakeholders. So we boil all those ideas that we had together as that, in that explore phase. We bring that to the client. We host a whole bunch of alignment sessions, could be visioning sessions. We bring that together. We have critical conversations around that. And we do that because it's important for the client to really understand, and we validate what we think the problem is. And they validate that, yes, you're trying to solve that problem. And they see it that way. And out of those conversations, we'll develop design drivers and guiding principles. And it's that list, that prioritized list, mm-hmm. that become critical to project success, because those are the lenses that we will push our design ideas through, lenses, if you will. So when you have two good ideas, or you have an idea and you're trying to decide if we should go this way or that way on the design, you know, you turn back to the guiding principles and say, well, we said as a group when we aligned that this was the most important thing. And then, you know, it's a way to really navigate the design process. So explore the ideas, we get the alignment, and then we get into the design. We don't just want to get out there and start making pretty pictures. We want to get out there and start designing based on things we know and things we understand. And so the third step is design. Again, we have those tools. We want to use the tools the right way. When we start capturing ideas, we want to make sure that we're using the right tools and presenting them to the client or to the stakeholders in a way that they understand what we're trying to do. You know, as designers, we look at floor plans every day. I mean, I know what I'm looking at.
Right.
I know that when I'm presenting to a lot of people, that they don't, unless they've redone their house, or, you know, they probably don't have an idea, yeah. of what they're looking at. So, you know, we've got those tools, immersive design. We can put them in a space three-dimensional, let them see it. It allows them to make informed decisions. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We want them to see it, understand it, and give us that critical feedback that we need. So we put them in the space, they give us the information we need, and then we evaluate it. And that's the fourth step. And it's through that evaluation that we say, okay, this is working, this isn't working. And then we go back through, and again, we explore other ways to do it. And it's an ideation loop. We just keep going around. And over time, the project starts to materialize, and that's what starts to push out, again, that inspired solution that we're striving for.
Thanks for walking through that innovation framework. It sounds like a really exciting time for designers.
You know, it is an exciting time for designers. I mean, I think when you go anywhere and you tell someone you're an architect, everyone thinks, oh, you're an architect. You know, I mean, there's just something about that, you know. Yeah. And, you know, again, because the creative process is something that's exciting to people.
Yeah.
But it is something that is somewhat messy, and people don't really realize that. And that's why we just talked about having needing a framework. We do need to have some way to control it, because it is somewhat messy to come up with ideas, to organize those ideas and sift those. You know, not every idea is a great one. And for all the great solutions you have, there's probably a dozen things that we thought of that didn't work and are left on the floor. People think that way because they see it, you know, on TV, see whether they watch the Food Network and see a show where someone just sits there and says, we're going to take these ingredients, throw them in a bowl, put them in a,
here's a glorious,
you know, dish. We're going to just kind of toss them in the oven, pull out something, voila, 30 minutes is perfect. Yeah, you know, you don't see them wash the dishes or do anything, all the mess around it. And then on the DIY network, you know, they'll see like, we'll buy this house. We're going to do this to the house, and then we're going to come up with, maybe at most you see them run into a couple of pitfalls during construction, but for the most part, it's a very linear process, right? I mean, they just kind of, we're going to start here and we're going to end here at the end of the half hour or 1 hour episode. Design just doesn't work that way. And I mean, I think that's the thing we realize is that we need to be able to work through things, have a tool in place that we can be creative, use the tools effectively, get through it. Our clients don't even see some of the things that we go through, but yeah, it's great. It's a fun time. I love it. I absolutely love being a designer, and I love engaging clients with ideas. I think it's the best.
Something that I know you and I have talked about off and on is AI. And where does AI fit into all of this as we move forward?
You know, it's AI. It's just tools in general. In my mind, it feels like another change is coming.
And like you were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, it feels like back in grad school when the computer was coming. It's like there's another thing coming. And it's not even just in our profession. It's just in the world. It's just coming. Yeah. And, you know, back then there was a barrier in the hardware. You know, there was something slowing it down. And that was just people's awareness and trying to figure it out or having hardware that could support it. I don't see that barrier this time around. I think it's here. You know, it's just going to. It's going to hit us, and it's going to hit us much faster. I feel good that we have a framework that kind of is ready to receive it, but we've got design kind of protected, and we have a place where we can bring those tools on board when they come. But there's going to be a lot of these tools, and we're going to have to be able to
sift through them,
test them, make sure they're ready for a project. You know, you never want to bring a tool out to a client before you feel comfortable with them. You know, we don't like to use our clients as guinea pigs. It's an exciting time. It's also one that we're just going to have to roll up our sleeves and embrace, tackle.
My last question for you is going to be, when we talk about AI and our exploration with it, I've heard you use the term human-centered AI, and I like that a lot. And I think it resonates with people. Can you share where that came from and what you think it means?
Yeah, I went to a conference. One of the software companies that I was listening to, they talked about the idea of this human-centered AI is what they were kind of coining as what we're interested in. And the way they described it was they weren't looking for to replace the painter. They were looking to give the painter a better paintbrush that would give
them. I love that.
I did too.
I think it makes people nervous, right? Like, it's coming for my job. 100%. And I'm not going to have,
No, we're not. And I think that's exactly what I could see. That's the way we're going to start to filter the tools. We're going to be looking for tools that allow our teams to work better, not ways to cut steps out of the design process. That's our approach going forward. We've already seen some of these tools make their way into the projects. When I talked about visioning and some of those exercises, we do a lot of post-it note exercises where people are writing words down on, and we're making word clouds. What's going to be important? I can take those word clouds now and I can put those into the machine, and using AI, I can have that, you know, spit out the five important drivers of what's important, which I would have had to sift through hundreds of post-it notes to kind of somewhat guess what's important. And the machine can take all those words and in seconds you prioritize the top five things that are important.
And that's the speed we're looking for.
That's the speed that we're looking for without, again,
affecting creativity,
replacing steps or affecting creativity. So exactly. So that it's an exciting time and it just keeps getting more exciting, but we have to make sure that we're using it the right way. We don't want to just use the tools to create pretty pictures. The last thing we want to do is just be able to race to a rendering and say, here's an idea and I'm going to use a tool to make it look better. Like my first idea better. I don't want that at all. I want to make sure that we're using the tools to really analyze them, make sure it's right before we get a whole bunch of people to develop the documents and push it forward.
Well, this has been great. Thank you for sharing the innovation framework and your thoughts with me, Tim.
Great, Brian. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
I'd like to thank Tim Bashi for joining us on this episode of BSA by Design. If you're interested in learning more about the innovation framework or BSA life structures, we encourage you to visit our website at bsalifestructures.com. There's also a link in the show notes to contact us for more information. And be sure to subscribe to BSA by Design wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. We've got more content and stories to share through various platforms, so be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and X. That's going to do it for this episode. Join us again next time on BSA by Design.